John Ramey, first season as the voice of the Wolfpack. And, John, I hope you're going back and renegotiating your contract right now, because you are clearly the good luck charm for this Nevada Wolfpack team.
That's right, Bob. I'm taking all the credit. And I'm just thrilled to be discovered as the X Factor I always knew I could be.
Well, why don't you talk a little bit about this team? When Lindsey Drew got hurt here in Boise on that February 14th game, I thought a team that did not have a whole lot of guys on the bench to begin with, now losing a starter, having to elevate a bench guy, I thought this team was going to have trouble throughout the rest of the season. You guys steamrolled to the Mountain West regular season championship, ended up losing that semifinal game to San Diego State, but have been able to survive two tough games and move on into the Sweet 16.
It's interesting. When Lindsey got hurt, I actually thought that lowered the ceiling on the year, just because he's such a complete basketball player, such a good defender, doesn't turn the ball over. I really thought it kind of lowered the ceiling on how deep the Pack might get in any postseason environment, and it was just kind of an unfortunate deal. But because of the transition of Cody Martin from power forward to point guard, there have been these inherent mismatches created, and the basketball IQ of the team is so high, and really the whole program. It's just the basketball wisdom, the ambient basketball smart, just kind of in the room, has actually turned this man-down disadvantage into a kind of an advantage. And because the Pack plays such a flexible style, I think they were less impacted than maybe a more conventional team would have been by the injury to Lindsey Drew.
Couple of comebacks for Nevada in their two wins. Looking at those individually and kind of together, is there any similarities between the Texas game and the Cincy game, which kind of points to a factor of them able to come back?
Yeah, they couldn't hit water from a boat in the first half of both games. I mean, this is a team that shoots 40% from three-point range, and they were, you know, well under 20% in both first halves. And you know, I don't love to get too deep into advanced metrics and quantitative analysis, but I did drop the concept in both games, both broadcasts. I said, look, there's something called regression to the mean, and specifically in Texas, in the Texas matchup, the Longhorns shot about 31.5% on the year from three. They were shooting about 44% in that first half. Nevada shoots about 40% on the year. They were shooting about, you know, 20%, 25% maybe. And you know, I mean, science, math tells us that if the game went on for, you know, infinity minutes, those averages would come back to where they're supposed to be. The question is, will they correct within 20 minutes, and what other aspects of the game can you control to help facilitate a comeback? So I had a sense in both games that, I mean, look, Nevada was probably not 14 points poorer than Texas and probably not 22 points poorer than Cincinnati. But then you factor in the playmaking ability, the defensive switches. Nevada employs brilliantly. Eric Musselman changed to a trap in the second half, and it completely threw Cincinnati off their rhythm. It got the ball out of their best ball handler's hands. Then they were beating the press. They were getting open looks. They couldn't hit it. It totally rattled them, and it allowed Nevada to get stops and come back in that game. So there were a lot of factors, but one of them was, you know, Pack just kind of shot poorly in the first half, and they're a good shooting team, so you figured they would, you know, kind of come back to their form.
John Ramey joining us. He is the voice of the Nevada Wolfpack. They will be taking on the Loyola Ramblers in the South region. You can hear it over on AM 1350 at 5 o'clock on Thursday in the first game of this weekend's action that's coming. John, as we look at that game with Cincinnati yesterday, with the Wolfpack 17 down, Eric Musselman gets a technical. They end up going 18 down. How much did that change the deck in the game?
I don't know. I mean, it's more like what didn't happen, right? I mean, it was to be completely frank, one of the less valid technical fouls I may have ever observed in my career. There were no magic words said. I heard the whole exchange. It was within 50 feet of my broadcast location. So that was an odd development. And given the size of the deficit at that point, it would not have been unusual to see a team kind of fold up shop, like, all right, it's really not our day, and that just happened. So I think it's more of a question, or it's more of a case that they didn't really react to it. They just kind of moved on, you know, won the next possession.
Now, speaking of Eric Musselman, dude has lost his mind in a way, right? Like, he's out here taking his shirt off before he's going to the locker room. His interviews have become now legendary after these wins. You've had to deal with him all season long. Is this the same Eric Musselman right now that was there in November?
Absolutely. He coaches, he leads, he teaches with an evangelical zeal. And it's not for everybody, but for the people that he has brought into this program and for the student athletes he teaches on a day-to-day basis, it's a very real, it's a very authentic personality. It's who he is, and you know, he's like that in the hotel gym in the morning, and he's like that on the bus. He does have a shirt on right now. We are on the bus, but no, I mean, it's not a persona. I mean, what you see is what you get, and it's a refreshing to work with, frankly.
When I watch your team play, and I've seen you guys play too many times in person this year, twice, and then seen you on TV a number of occasions. One of the things that I think you guys have that other teams in this tournament don't have is the ability to score and the ability to be explosive in a very short amount of time. Talk about how that was a factor in both of these games, because all of a sudden it was like turning a faucet on and letting Niagara Falls come out.
Well, that was, in fact, one of the reasons why, although the comebacks may seem improbable, there was a lot of belief in the huddle for the Pack specifically and for the fans that have followed the team all year long. There are a lot of shot creators on this team, guys that can get their own shots and guys that can make shots. That you cannot take for granted in college basketball. You know, a lot of guys need help getting their shot, getting free. We have a lot of guys that can create shots for themselves, for their teammates. And, again, the percentages indicate that the Pack hit a lot of those shots. And the other thing is there's a tempo factor. The Pack like to play fast. That's also part of their explosiveness. And when they sped up Cincinnati by employing that trap, that press, it moved the pace of that game over in favor of Nevada. It really imposed their will on the game. Even though they were trailing, they were able to start they were able to make the Bearcats play a way that was much more advantageous to Nevada in general, and certainly more advantageous than trying to make up a big deficit in a short amount of time. And with these single elimination games, the ability to be explosive, to go on a 10-0 run, and then to follow it up with another run, I think Nevada closed the game on a 32-8 run. I mean, that is, Coach Musselman coined a term, spurtability, earlier in the season. To have that characteristic, that spurtability, is something you actually really need. It comes in quite handy in these single elimination neutral site games where you might have a bad half or you might have a cold stretch and you might find yourself with a deficit, right? These comebacks have been tremendous, but these kinds of games are not foreign to anybody who's watched the NCAA tournament. We see games like this all the time, and teams fall behind and make runs. So Nevada is, I think, as you identify, Bob, kind of uniquely suited at least through two games to survive.
Yeah, and even the Mountain West, and you mentioned these type of games in the NCAA tournament, the Mountain West has some of these wild runs, and it's a crazy league, so maybe that's kind of prepared them too. Now up next, Loyola Chicago. Now Boise State beat Loyola Chicago by 34 points. Just saying, this, you all beat Boise State twice, so this should be a layup, right?
Right, of course. I mean, let's not even play the game, right? I have not gone deep on Loyola Chicago. First of all, I got to ask broadcaster to broadcaster here. I want to get this right, and I truly have not looked at the verbiage yet. Is it Loyola of Chicago or is it Loyola Chicago? Right? Because
that's
I
a good question.
Right.
I at least have Nevada. Right,
I mean,
so
yeah. If we're gonna get on people for the vowel sound of the state of Nevada, I at least want to get Loyola Chicago or Loyola of Chicago right.
That's a very good question. I to be honest with you, yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I know. You know, there's one in Baltimore. There's one in New Orleans. Loyola Marymount is in Los Angeles.
So. In Los Angeles, yeah.
That might be the good first question to ask, right?
I mean, this is a little inside baseball, you know. But these are the important things. They're the Ramblers. I know that they've won 29 games. I mean, you just can't fluke 29 wins, right?
No, and it just shows you how one game. You know, you play one game, and when they left here, I was telling Chris, I know they were 7-0 when they came here. But they hadn't beaten anybody that I looked at thinking, oh, this team was any good to be 7-0. I'm thinking they're going to be lucky to win 10, Oh, I mean, they had seven already. I'm facetious when I say 10. But if you'd asked me to lay money, are they going to be over or 500 in the league? I would have gone under 500 based on what I saw that night in Boise.
But almost as a follow-up, with that being the opponent, now, like, Nevada getting here is certainly a positive thing and certainly probably exceeded expectations. But still, there has to be something to be said for it. You don't want to lose to an 11 seed. Like, this is a time where, you know, they're wearing the white jerseys. They're the better seed. They should win this, right? Like, there's something to be said for taking care of business in this.
I mean, that is a thought that can certainly be entertained. But I mean, look at the South region.
Yeah, it's
anarchy. Right? I mean, it's anarchy. And again, we love the NCAA tournament, and I certainly love it. It's a great sporting event. It's tremendous television, and it's just legendary. But single elimination basketball is probably not the way to determine the purest champion. But nobody cares, right? I mean, it's just so good. You know, everything's game seven. I mean, it's wonderful.